Hello, hello, hello. I'm back again with A Coffee in Your Cup, sponsored by Arise Counseling Center. I am here today with my husband today, and I thought that this would be a beautiful time to come on here on Valentine week, because we know tomorrow is Valentine's Day, and do a podcast with my husband. My podcast audience, I do have my Facebook audience on live as well, and I have my YouTube going, and this will also be uploaded on Instagram. So all of those streaming platforms. But again, we're here today talking about four things on how to make a relationship work. Okay. Things that we could do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Things that have sustained our marriage.
Yes,
through these
yes.
7 years.
Mm-hmm.
There's a plateau that if you reach past 5 years, there's statistically that your marriage is more likely to progress. All right. Okay. When you get to 10 years, then the chances of your marriages being sustainable increase there. But 5 years at first, and that's what we're at 7 years now. So we're going for 10.
Okay. All right. So we really met. It's 8 years because, we've been knowing each other for 8 years. So, okay. So we're going to get together kind of so we can, so our Facebook audience and Instagram and YouTube audience can see us. But we're going to talk about how the things that we went through. Let's start with how we met, maybe. You want to start with that?
We can start with how we met. I'll give my interpretation of how we met we met happy hour. We met at a place called Beamer's. It's in Dallas.
Oh, Lord.
No promotion for Beamer's because we don't get paid to promote you. But I don't even think it's called that anymore. But it was called that at the time. It was during happy hour. It's usually a more mature setting. They have food laid out. They have drinks. It's a nice setting to go. A lot of people go in happy hour in Dallas, and then it eventually turns into a rowdy club after.
But this was like on a Thursday or Friday. It was during the day because I remember my sister. Now I have to say this because anybody from Dallas know about Beamer's happy hour. They serve all this food, and she would invite me all the time. But this time, and I would say I didn't want to go. But this time she was having her birthday party during happy hour.
It's around tax time.
It was.
Yeah, it was around February tax time. February, March. It was around tax time.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah, it was.
It was summertime.
It was around February, March.
My sister was born July 7th, and it was her birthday, okay? That's how I know it was her birthday. All right. And so I was not going to go because I don't do clubs. At that time, I didn't do clubs or anything. And so she sent me some free passes through the email, and it was right after work. And I went, had the same clothes on I had from work. So, this was more of a mature crowd. And they had a lot of food there. But anyway, okay, so we met there. I remember walking by. And at that time, I can say that I was open to find a man. Because at one point in my life, I was closed to it. So I wouldn't go anywhere. But when she invited me, I think part of me went because I was open. So one of the things you have to be open to be so that you can be found.
Mm-hmm.
So that you, because the Bible said a man that findeth a wife, findeth a good thing. Mm-hmm. So you have to be open hearted. And as long as I wasn't open, I didn't really meet anybody. So I think that's one of the things you have to be open to want someone to see you. So,
and as a man, you have to be looking.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be looking for a partner in life. As many times you go out and you're not looking for a partner in life, you're just looking for something for that moment. But at the time, I was in this position, this space where I was looking for a partner in life.
Mm-hmm. So you was looking. Was you looking?
Yeah, I was looking.
He came from all the way from New York. He was here for how long? About a couple months. At that
going
time,
in a year, yeah, it was close. It was some months.
It wasn't a year because
I think
you came in March and it was a couple of months.
No, I came in January.
Okay, so it was a couple of months. So it was about 6 months or so because I met you in July. That's my sister's birthday. And, you know, I don't think you was looking for no wife because you come to this from Texas to New York. And I think when I met him, he had what, the gold? You had like the little.
I had some gold teeth. I had some gold teeth.
But let me tell you. He was looking good, and he was looking good. I'm not really attracted to guys, and, you know, because I was still in, I was in my 30s.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was just
30s. Entering my 30s.
No, okay, so I'm 6 years older than my husband. Mm-hmm. So I was 36. And so I don't think at the time I was attracted to guys with goals in their mouth, but it was the way he was dressed, and it was his accent, his New York accent. Mm-hmm. And that's what really got my attention, you know. So he told me to come, and not only did he tell me to come, he told me to sit down. I thought that was nice because mm-hmm. I was walking around, and there were guys were grabbing on me and all of that, but you mm-hmm. told me, you said, sit down. Mm-hmm. So I sat down, and from there, just him being different, it was just, it attracted me to him.
I told you to sit down so we could have an intimate conversation. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
Instead of yelling at somebody's ear, you can look them in their face, look them in their eyes, have a nice conversation seated, you know.
Mm-hmm. And I thought that was really, I'm telling y'all, that kind of touched me when you said, come here. It's the way he grabbed me. He said, come here and sit down. And you kind of set me down, even mm-hmm. though we didn't talk but a hot mm-hmm. good couple of minutes, mm-hmm. you know. And that's how I found out you was here. You had mm-hmm. just been here for a while, and you was like undecided on whether you was going to stay or go back. Mm-hmm. You had that undecided, like, I don't know. I'm working here. I found a job here. Look, mm-hmm. I've been working, and something you said, but it was like you were undecided. So I hope mm-hmm. I helped you change your mind.
Mm-hmm. I've been here 8-9 years almost now.
So, he had that New York swag, and I was like, hey, everybody know me that I like different. Then what made it even better was I found out that he was Jamaican.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't know that I was a Caribbean singer. People say, well, how's your Caribbean singer? And your parents are not from Jamaica. Mm-hmm. You know, when I was 12 or 13 years old, I hung out with Jamaican people mm-hmm. and they had me singing on reggae music since I was like 13. Mm-hmm. So I would sing American songs on reggae tracks, and we would be with a bunch of, I'm talking about hardcore Jamaican.
That was a step in the right direction that we like the same music. You know, a lot of times,
yeah.
You know, when you go to different places, you don't know if people listen to the same type of music you listen to, especially reggae music. Mm-hmm. You know, coming down south, a lot of people, you know, don't really listen to reggae music, but it, yeah.
That was so, you know, it was like almost fate because, you know, I was really, not only did I listen to reggae music, imagine from 13 hanging out with Jamaicans all the time, every day, all the way up into my adulthood. So I was really, really a Caribbean girl, you know. I could speak a little patois, and they were just, you know, me and my cousin, we could sing real good, and they would take us to the studio, and mm-hmm. we ended up being, they taught us how to drive. So, you know, it's almost like that was part of my roots, you mm-hmm. know. So when I met my husband, and it took me a little while before you told me that you were, your dad was Jamaican, mm-hmm. and your mom was like Belize. Okay.
Well, yeah, her family is from Jamaican.
And Belize. Yeah, so he's mostly all Jamaican. So, and Belize is also an island. So you didn't tell me that right up front, because remember, I was trying to take you to our next date was going to be like a Caribbean reggae club, right?
Yeah, it was at another social gathering place that played reggae music. And I was new to the town. I really didn't know a lot of places. So she took me to a place that was kind of reminded me of home, you know, with the reggae music, mm-hmm. with the reggae food, with the vibe of the place. So yeah. that was nice.
That was really nice because we didn't even, you know, it just seemed to come together. And so from there, that was kind of like where we would go, you know. Mm-hmm. And even though I wasn't doing it, I wasn't going to the clubs, but he didn't know I would go there to sing. I would go there. They would do live opening band shows, and they would let me sing and mm-hmm. sing reggae. So I really stayed connected to the Caribbean community because it was a part of me. Mm-hmm. So we would go there, and that made us even connect even more.
Mm-hmm.
When I found out you was into that. So mm-hmm. again, I think another quality would be to have some type of him, my husband being from New York and I'm being from Texas. That's so different.
Mm-hmm.
We come from totally different backgrounds, but what kept us together was what? Mm-hmm. That Caribbean I believe that was one of the things, the glue that brought us together, because we kind of like the same thing.
Exactly. Us having the same interest in the same kind of culture.
That's right. Because I remember the next day, next couple of days when I met you again, and I had the Bob Marley earrings on, and you fell under my hair, and I had dreads because I had a little wig on, but I had dreads under my hair. So y'all, I was really diehard Caribbean. Okay. Mm-hmm. And when I tell you my parents are straight, Southern.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, I say, God, he has a sense of humor. He know where you're going to be, where you're going to go, because my husband is Caribbean, and all those years from being young, even my sisters, they could not understand me. They was like, even a girl that would come stay with me with the Jamaican, she still would pull back, but it seemed like I was really into it. Mm-hmm. So God was preparing me, I really believe, for such a time.
And that's one thing that can help sustain your relationship when you start progressing in it, is that you have the same interest in the same things. That's very important, to have the same interest in whatever your interests are, to have those interests.
And then what else? After we started dating, and then my husband, he could rap, but he never really connected with people that would pull it out of him.
Mm-hmm.
My mother was a singer. My daddy was a singer. Okay. My daddy was a real singer. He was a lead of a band in Dallas that was really known.
Mm-hmm.
And so music was always in me, but when I met my husband, he wasn't thinking about rapping, but he said he did kind of dabble in it when he was younger.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't even realize that my husband had such a gift of rapping. When I tell you, I sing and he raps, okay?
Mm-hmm.
That's another thing. That's a common thing that we have.
Mm-hmm.
So we was able to do music together, and it would complement each other. It wasn't even off either, because, and being that I did a lot of Caribbean music and he was familiar with it, he would get, some Americans would be like, I don't want to rap on Jamaican tracks or Caribbean tracks or soca tracks.
Mm-hmm.
My husband, because he's familiar with it, he just came right on in and he just flows. I didn't have to go find a pot. Well, he know how to speak patois, but he didn't, he don't just speak it all the time. But I didn't go find some Jamaican artist that speaks patois fluently. My husband, because he comes from that, he just fit right in. So when we do when I do music with him, it's just so complimentary, and that's another surprise, that God gave us, that we both, right? Now he's into music. He has, what you just told me today, how many tracks you have today?
I have about a couple albums worth of music, really.
He went from not rapping to having like over 20 some recorded songs. I've been doing music since I was when I was a little kid, but recording since I was about 13, 14. And I have a lot of music, but he's caught up with me. So that goes to show that this was in him. He just wasn't around the environment to help him birth it out the way that it is. So that's another thing we have in common.
Mm-hmm.
We both do music. And what about the counseling?
Yeah. And that's another thing. You have to, when we go back to interest, another thing that has sustained our relationship is that our heart to want to help people. I think that's it, that our compassion, our empathy, to understand people from all walks of life, that's helped sustain our relationship also, is that we have a heart to want to help people. It may be in different ways, and it may be, some of it may be in the same way, but like, I got a background in construction and I worked on houses of low income families. So in a way I was helping people and putting a smile on her face. She has a background in counseling and helping people like that, both counseling, because at the same time you have to talk to the homeowners or talk to people and kind of give them a positive message.
Mm-hmm.
So we just combine that, and
it works because you're more of a, my husband, let me tell you what, we work, y'all know our company is called Arise Counseling Center. Okay. Mm-hmm. I went to school to do this, but when I met my husband, we was able to birth it out together.
Mm-hmm.
But he knows how to break it down. Mm-hmm. Okay. We have clients from all over.
Mm-hmm.
We have Caucasian clients. We have Indian clients, Chinese clients. We have from poor to people, doctors, we have lawyers, policemen. So I had to have somebody that is able to come in and work with clients and not be intimidated and not feel like, hey, they come from this walk of life, because, you know, my husband, he's from the streets, but he's very intelligent. So at the in New York streets, but he's very, very intelligent. Like, he loves to read. So he come right in and he breaks it down. He's a great teacher. Okay. Me, I'm more like, I'm going to swing it at you, you know, like a, you know, I would think that if you, in the church, they say an evangelist that come in, cut you, just come in and just boom, by the time you come in and I'm going to hit you with it. My husband, you know, he going to break it down, you know, and he going to teach you real well, very fluently. And they love him because he's very patient and all of those things. And see me, I'm just raw. Okay. When I come in, I'm like, and they love that too. So they have the best of both worlds. Okay. Mm-hmm. And that's another good thing.
Yeah. Another good thing that maintains our relationship is spirituality.
Okay. That's the big part. Okay. Spirituality. People don't understand that, because if my friends, my sisters, my friends, my mom, when I pop up, when Shannon Palmer pop up in their mind, the first thing that comes up, yeah, they know I like to sing and dance and entertain and all that. But one of the things that come up, my friends, if you interviewed everybody that know me, they would say, she loves God with all her heart. And we've watched her grow from all the things she's went through, but she never denounced God and she's always kept her faith. So I had to get someone that had the same faith as me, okay, the faith walk. And my husband, he just has a love for God. He has a love for God. And that's one of the things that made me love him. I told him when I met him, even before we were married, when I looked into his eyes, I could see God. You know, I don't understand it. Sometimes, you know, back then, I didn't understand it, but I could see God. And what I mean by that, not that he was literally God, it's just that his heart was so pure.
This is what somebody said to me, that his peace is all over me.
His peace is on him.
And you can see that his peace is all over.
Because he has a heart. The Bible said the pure shall see Jesus. Okay. Only the pure in heart. And he has one thing about him, all he's been through in life, he's been through a lot. And one day he's going to write a book and tell y'all what he's been through. But he has the purest heart. When he looks at people, he don't see no wrong. He reminds me of my oldest son. My oldest son was like that. He looks at people from, I don't care, you could be doing this or doing that. He has a pure heart, and he will look at you through the eyes of God. And I admire him for that, that the things that he went to did not corrupt his heart. Okay. On the other side of me, God had to heal my heart because of the things that I've been through. It kind of got into my heart. Like, I had unforgiveness there. My husband really, let me tell y'all, I'm not trying to brag on him like that, but God gave me someone that's patient with me, you know, because he's very patient and kind, because I had just a heart, you know, of just a hurting heart from what I've been through. And he is gentle. He'll come back and just, he knows how to just butter me, make me feel
sometimes
good.
Sometimes you got to press it down and stir it up so that it's running over.
So that's what I admire about him. And I admire that God has given him a heart like that, because through it all, through all the hurts and pains that I've been through, at the end of the day, when I look at him, I see that his love is pure towards me. And so it makes it so much easier to just walk into your healing, to be trusting, to love again, to let someone love you again. Mm-hmm. You know, women that have been hurt, okay, been abused, they have a hard time opening up. They have this wall, and sometimes it could be so much there. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so when God give you someone that's willing to walk it out with you, truly, because of what I am today, my husband has helped me. Okay. People look at your life and they say, oh, baby, you have a strong woman on your side, because we look at you and my family and everybody, but they don't know how much. Well, they know that I wouldn't be what I am today the healing that I'm walking in is because God gave me somebody that is patient, mm-hmm. you know, because you can get the wrong person and they would, they'll abuse you.
And that's another thing. While you're saying patience, that's another thing that sustains a marriage or a relationship is having patience mm-hmm. with your partner and understanding that, you know, they're not perfect. That's so right. You have to have that patience in your partner because mm-hmm. they're going to do things that, you know, they may not have the same understanding or the same morals or values as you. But that's why it's good to have a partner so that you can share those experiences or your values or your morals with your partner to make them a better person as your partner does the same with you and makes you a better person. So having patience is something that's very needed. Like a lot of people get in relationships and they get out of them because they don't have patience with their partner. If you want to sustain a relationship, you have to have patience.
You have to have patience because it's going to be things that they do that may remind you of your past. Okay. It may be things that they do that you don't like and you can't just run. You have to be prayerful because no matter what relationship you get in, it's going to be problems. Okay, you may run from one relationship to the next and they might not have that particular problem, but they're going to have another problem because you are two different people, a male and a female. Mm-hmm. It's going to be some clashing. Okay, the thing is, everyone should just know how to get along. Okay,
it's that book said men are from Mars, women are from Venus.
That's right.
Well, let me know about Venus, I'll let you know about Mars. You know,
you have to be prayerful. You really do, because it's like no matter where you go, you're going to have that conflict in something. It may be you don't like their family or you don't like this, or you may come in with a blended family, you know, or some people have affairs and didn't had an affair. You know, you have all these things that you deal with. What will keep you with this person mm-hmm. when things go bad? Okay, because when you get married, you're thinking everything, or when you're dating, you're thinking everything is going to be good. But if you sit down and talk to some elderly people that's been married for 50 years, they'll tell you they survive what? Mm. Infidelity, they survive alcoholism. Some people survive domestic violence. Some people survive drug addiction. You don't know the story behind the glory. You look at two people that walk together and people envy. They want that relationship, but you don't know the things that those couples have to overcome and are overcoming. Blended families coming in with, right now we're in this generation where it's not like 50 years ago, 40 mm-hmm. years ago, where you married the man and y'all had a family together. Mm-hmm. Now, because it's okay to have unprotected sex and you got all this stuff going on, people, it is the realness mm-hmm. of it. Computer almost went out. The realness of it is, guess what? You may marry somebody that have a baby or a child. Mm-hmm. And what you gonna do? Because I've heard people to say, well, I don't want to marry anyone with kids. And that's good. Mm-hmm. But in this time, you might meet someone with a baby. One on the way or something.
And there's another thing that has sustained our relationship is trust. And then a thing that's important also is intimacy. And intimacy doesn't have to be sex.
See, I told you 30 minutes go by fast. Intimacy, that's a good subject.
Intimacy just doesn't have to be sex, but it has to be, you know, being intimate with your partner, kissing, cuddling, holding, all those things. But intimacy is very important to sustaining a relationship.
We got to come back and talk about that because the time is. But you know what? Mm-hmm. Intimacy is so important. Mm-hmm. My husband said it the other day. We have to kiss. Okay, I don't care if you have to brush your teeth, clean your teeth, go to the dentist. Y'all have, you know, it's one thing about kissing. When you stop kissing your partner, mm-hmm. that attraction is going away. Mm-hmm. Okay, you have to kiss. Okay, mm-hmm. that is something that brings closeness, right? Mm-hmm. And then you have to spend time together.
It's a very intimate action. Kissing mm-hmm. is a very intimate action. A lot of people have sex and they don't kiss. That just shows the importance of the intimacy. And the action of kissing, all right?
That's a good one, honey. I'm telling you, people, because we done it. We had to come. I mean, we need to start kissing. You know, when you've been with somebody for years, you stop kissing and you just get right into it. But no, that's part of, you know, when you're dating and, mm-hmm. you know, the first couple of years mm-hmm. of your marriage, but then you get into this point, I'm not going to kiss. But no, we kiss now a lot of.
Or you get them dry kisses, you know.
Just yeah. You got to kiss, honey. Yeah. Okay. Real kiss. And we spend a lot of time together. We're best friends. I told my other friend, I said, you know, Jabari's my best friend. And some people don't like that because they're, you know, But me and Jabari, we are best friends. We do everything together. We travel together. We're like...
We work together.
We do everything. And I think that helps us too, because when he's not around, I really miss him. And he misses me too. Mm-hmm. When we have to go apart for whatever, and we on the phone like, mm-hmm. Wait a minute now. We together all the time, and then when you leave, we mm-hmm. want to talk. So that's my friend. That's my best friend. You know, mm-hmm. He knows all my secrets. He knows mm-hmm. everything about me. I'm open to him. I can take this ponytail off and he see me. Mm-hmm. And I know he's not going to judge me because he loves me. I can take this ponytail off. I can be me. Mm-hmm. He could come out, take his shirt off or whatever. Mm-hmm. We could just be ourselves. So that's another thing. You can't just fall in love with a person because you're dating them, because things are going to change about them. Mm-hmm. After 8 years, you may gain weight. Okay. Features may change. Mm-hmm. Anything can happen. They may lose their hair. Mm-hmm. Okay. If you're getting in a relationship thinking somebody is going to be the same way you met them, what about 20 and 30 years? You change.
Exactly.
And you have, and love is the only thing. What is mm-hmm. love? The Bible said it's kind.
Patient.
It's patient. It's not puffed up. It don't mm-hmm. seek its own. Mm-hmm. You know, it don't behave unseemly. Mm-hmm. So if you don't have real love, it's going to show out the while.
So some of the things I remember that we talked about to sustain a marriage or a relationship was trust, mm-hmm. patience, intimacy. And I think it was something else, but yeah, trust, patience, intimacy, and what was the fourth one?
I guess we can give the fourth one now. We didn't write this down. This trust, is just hot off the press. So we're just going back over. Maybe you could tell us, put in the comments what you heard out of, because we talked about.
The fourth could be what to do.
Love.
Love. That's the fourth thing to sustain a marriage or relationship. Mm-hmm. Trust, patience, intimacy, and love. Mm-hmm. That with those four ingredients, you're on a good path mm-hmm. to making a good dish that can last and sustain and can feed your soul and spirit mm-hmm. and your physical body.
Because when everything else fails, you have to have love. And mm-hmm. love is not just attraction. Love is not just lust. Okay, let me tell you what love is. It has to be tried in the fire. What do I mean by that? You know, you have to go through some things. Okay, you have to really go through some things. You have to invest in your love, in your marriage. That's how you know you love somebody. If you're willing to invest, stick in there, pray, cry. You know how many nights I had to cry, and how many nights Jabari had to cry too? We had to invest, because you're dealing with these personalities, and we come from backgrounds, we come from trouble, we come from generational curses, and you know, we don't see eye to eye all the time, and you know, women and men, it's a lot of things going on. We can go on and on and on about it. So you have to invest. Once you're willing to stick in there and invest through the good and the bad, then it bursts out real love. But again, I am just so excited about this podcast. You think we need to do another one of these together?
Yeah, we can do another one.
Yeah, we can do another. See, my husband is not. Y'all can see him looking down. He's not. I'm smiling in the camera. He's looking down, and he's not a camera person. You know, even though he is a camera person, he's just still being shy, and he's not on this podcast. But I'm gonna go ahead and let y'all go. We enjoyed y'all. We're gonna come back with another edition of A Coffee in Your Cup, okay? Mm-hmm. Sponsored by Arise Counseling Center. And have a wonderful, wonderful Valentine's Day. Mm-hmm. If you're single, spend time with your kids. If you don't have any kids, pamper yourself. Go get mm-hmm. get your facial, get your nails done. Married couples, do something for each other. Mm-hmm. If you don't have any money, make something. Play games. Do mm-hmm. something together. Turn the social media off and just look each other in the eyes and just talk about how you met and how much you love your spouse. Mm-hmm. And we want to end it right there. And thank you for tuning in.
All right. Thank you. All right. I think that was great, Shane.